Welcome back to HTP Podcast, where we go beyond just strokes and strategy. Our mission here is to change the culture of tennis, having one conversation at a time through a more positive and holistic approach. If you guys can do me a big favor and hit that subscribe button, like, and share, that would be amazing. And today on the pod, I have Bobby, which I got to meet Bobby at Martin Blackman's Academy. Gosh, I feel so blessed being around you guys, and I learned so much from you, Bobby. I mean, specifically technique that I still use till this day. And I would say technique was definitely my weakness being a beginner coach. Like, I really, you know, you understand tidbits, but really getting into the detail, I feel like I learned so much from you that yeah, I can't, like, now looking back, I'm just like, wow. But Bobby, if you can share, you know, you have such an extensive background in tennis. You're a world-class coach. Where tennis really started for you, where you're from, and some of those things along the way.
I grew up just outside Boston, Massachusetts, in Newton. And my dad was a tennis player. He started playing tennis right after college.
Okay.
And basically, he started me when I was 5. Oh, and wow. I would go with him. He would go play his tennis, and I would hit against the backboard until he was done. And then when he was done playing his tennis, usually an hour and a half, then he would take me on the court and he and I would hit. I remember those days fondly because people would come up to him and say, you know, how old is he? How old is he? How, you know, he's really good. So from a young age, I thought I was really good. And then for my 9th birthday, my parents got me tennis lessons. And I was lucky enough to work at a place in Waltham, Massachusetts, a place called Tennis Now. And the coaches there were technical coaches. The person at the top of the group was a guy named Arnie Brown, and he was very much a technical coach. And he taught his other coaches under him how to teach technique. And when I first started playing, we were playing in a warehouse. It wasn't even a tennis facility. It had a temporary court laid down called a modified court. And then they had these hitting lanes that had ball machines. So this was back in the 70s, and the tennis boom was happening, and people just wanted to learn how to play tennis. So it was a kind of right place, right time. I got very lucky to be around coaches who knew how to teach technique. So then I started taking lessons at 9. By 11 years old, I was playing tournaments. And then by about 14, 15, I started teaching tennis.
Wow.
And I started teaching when I was in high school. And my coach ran a week-long coaches program that he wanted me to be a part of. I mean, one of my first jobs in tennis was being a ball boy and literally just being on the court while someone else taught a lesson. And I was watching these people take lessons, and it was kind of advanced at the time. They had video back in the 70s, and they would videotape people and use ball machines, and a lot of the stuff that we're doing now, they were doing then. And it was kind of, at that point, cutting edge. I started teaching tennis. My first full-time job in tennis teaching was in Vermont. I was taught at Smuggler's Notch right near Stowe, and I was there for 4 summers, starting between my junior and senior year of high school, all the way through college. And right after college, got a job at a place called Killington School for Tennis, also in Vermont. I was there for a summer, and then I came back to Boston. I got an assistant's job with a friend of mine named Mike Gardner at the Thoreau Club. And then from there, I got a head pro's job, director of tennis at the Whiteman Tennis Center in Weston. And I was also very fortunate. When I first started out, I had one student, a guy named Josh Hausman, who won the 12 and under nationals. And at the time, I thought, okay, yeah, this is a pretty easy job. I can go out and teach people how to play tennis, and they get good at it. And what I didn't realize is that he might be the best student I ever had. He was my first student, but he picked things up quickly. On a side note, it came out years later. I thought I was the best coach because I would give him a week lesson. And every week, he would come back and have already learned, you know, from what we worked on the week before. And I thought, wow, I must be really good. What I didn't know is his dad was taking him out during that week after the lesson and drilling him. Okay. And getting him better. So I thought it was a once a week lesson. He actually was playing probably, you know, 15 hours a week with his dad to get better at what we had practiced. So
that's awesome.
Something I learned later.
Yeah.
Yeah. From there, I got a job in the New England area coaching some of the best kids in New England through the USTA. It was right around the time when the USTA was becoming more involved in player development.
Okay.
And since I was working with Josh, they thought I was a good coach, and they said, you know, would you come along and be part of this new initiative? And I said, sure. So at that point, we had area training centers. I don't know if you remember or were part of those.
Yes.
But so that was, you know, maybe twice a month, we would get together for 3 or 4 hours with the best kids in the Boston area and train them. And I learned a lot working with other coaches, just picking up things from other coaches in the area. And then we would go to conferences where I also had a lot of coach education. And that job brought me eventually to Florida, to Tampa, because of Josh, a friend of mine, a guy named Kevin O'Connor, who at that point was at Saddlebrook, was opening up a new academy with the Palmer Academy, and said, would you come down from Boston to join the academy? And I said, well, let me wait one more year. Let me see how you guys do the first year. But after that first year, I said, yeah, I'm ready to make the move. And that was in 93.
Wow.
So moved from Boston to Tampa. Through that job, I started doing some work with the USTA. Okay. They had camps that they were doing in Key Biscayne. I got invited because in that Tampa group, some of the best kids in the U.S. were training there, who were then invited to camps in Key Biscayne. They invited me to come and be a guest coach. And then that job turned into an apprenticeship with the USTA. Okay. And that was in, summer of 96. So at one point, I thought I'd be going back to Palmer after that internship for 6 months. And then that job turned into a full-time job with the USTA.
Okay.
So it's kind of been like one step after another, opportunities, you know, lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time, work with good coaches, and keep moving on.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. And then from there, how did you get to Boca then? Because that's where I met you.
Yes. So USTA Player Development had their offices in Key Biscayne. I was there from 96 to 2007. Then they partnered with Everett to have the ability to have kids live in Boca and train with the USTA within the Everett program. USTA was leasing courts from Everett to run their program up in Boca. And so I moved up in 2007. So
hey, yeah.
From 2007 to 2010, I was with the USTA. During that period, I was in coach education, working with Paul Luppers, and then eventually Martin Blackman.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then when Martin started his academy in 2012, he called me and said, you know, I'm starting an academy. Would you like to come and work for me? And I said, sure.
Yeah.
And that was at the Boca Resort and Club at that point.
And then you're currently there now.
I'm there now. I'm now working with the resort and the membership at the resort, mostly with adults. I have a few kids that I teach, but mostly with adults. So that's been a transition from when I work mostly with kids back in the academy days. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And what I've realized is I love teaching tennis as long as someone's motivated to learn. If they're not motivated to go out and practice what you're going to teach them, or if they're not looking to make changes to have that aha moment where they kind of put it together and be like, oh, now I understand why you're putting me in this grip at the net that feels really uncomfortable, but it's for a purpose. That's always the fun part as a coach, is when they understand why you're doing what you're doing, and then they're able to, you know, kind of go along with it until they get it.
Yeah.
And then once they get it, they're like, oh, now I see what you had in mind all along.
Yeah, getting them to buy into that whole process isn't always easy, that's for sure.
Very true.
What do you feel like, I guess, depending on the era that you're in, but overall, what do you feel like as a coach was maybe one of your biggest obstacles that you had to work through?
Probably teaching strategy.
Okay.
I was very much a technical coach, and I used to think, you know, okay, technique is everything. Mm-hmm. And then when I started working for the USTA, in a lot of ways, they wanted you to kind of be hands-off technique. And if I was taking kids internationally on trips, you weren't going to take them on a trip and go play three tournaments and change their technique.
Yeah.
So it was about understanding more how they played and talking to their personal coaches at home and finding out, you know, what made them tick, and trying to be there for them as a coach and helping them, you know, in the day-to-day tournament life. So that was a transition for me, because up until that point, this was in 96, I was always on the court with kids.
Okay.
And always had the ability to coach kids and to focus on their technique, and then watch them play tournaments, come back and say, okay, we need to refine this, or this needs to get better, where you need to learn this shot in order to run a play. So it was really the first time where I had to really focus on, okay, this is how you play. Okay, let me watch how you play and see how that matches up with your opponent, and, you know, give you the best advice I can to help you play better.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah, I would say the complete opposite for me was technique. I struggled with technique. And as a beginner coach, I felt like I was so lucky to work next to you for like 3 years, because I just absorbed so much. I mean, not just from you, every coach there, but because in the beginning I did struggle with technique. I mean, I remember, you know, one day I was helping out Rashida McAdoo, and you came on and you were just like, do, 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 do. And I was like, mind blown.
Right.
And it was just like such a great aha moment for me to like really see, you know, in that moment of where issues could over time like make problems on the court. And I got to see it in real time. So that was a great experience for someone who is more maybe a beginner coach or who does struggle with technique, because you're phenomenal at it. What advice would you give them if they are like trying to learn technique or struggle with technique?
I mean, I think as a beginning coach, the tendency is to overcoach. And so, you know, to try and keep it simple, sometimes I have to remind myself, just let them do it. Let them figure it out a little bit rather than trying to correct every shot they hit, and let them get a feel for what they're doing. I had a lesson this morning with an adult beginning player, and you know, I still have to hold myself back from wanting to give him the advice to let him figure it out. Let him asking questions, I find, is really helpful as a coach, because then you get to understand what they're thinking as opposed to them understanding what you're thinking. What's going through your mind? What are you thinking about? What are you trying to do? So one of the things I've tried to do is simplify tennis. And I like the idea that the first obstacle is the net. Like, are you getting it over the net? No. Okay, then we got to work from there. Let's get it over the net first. Get under the ball. Use your legs. Get under the ball with your racket. Get the racket below the ball. Come up at it. And then from there, work on hitting it straighter. Keep it within the sidelines. And then eventually learning topspin gives them the opportunity to bring the ball down after hitting it higher over the net. Mm-hmm. So if I can get someone to understand that from the ground, every time they're hitting a ball from the ground, they're trying to get a feeling of lifting, rushing up, getting spin on the ball, getting it to come down, that'll give them some confidence. I find that a lot of people don't want to follow through because they're afraid of hitting it too far. Mm-hmm. When in fact, if they don't have a swing, if they don't really stroke the ball properly and finish, the ball won't go in anyway. You know, it'll just fly on them.
Yeah.
So trying to get them to understand that, you know, you have to make a swing at it. You can't just kind of bunt the ball and expect that to work.
I love that. That is so good. Yeah, that is phenomenal advice right there. And I love the part too, where you're like, what are they thinking? Because I think a lot of the time as coaches, we also kind of feel this pressure, like we need to be telling them something, like they're paying me. You know,
right.
I need to be giving them value. And through that value, that means I have to talk. So I love that of asking more questions and getting to see like what they're actually thinking and what their thought process is. And I feel like I've started to hear more and more coaches talk about that approach more recently, instead of always being like, you have to do this and this way and da 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 da, and taking more of like, you know, what are you thinking, and being able to adapt more. I feel like more coaches are taking this approach, which I feel like is great. It's phenomenal. We need more of that, because each person is just so different. When you were coaching like more on the competitive side with juniors and traveling with them, and you were saying it became more strategy, and with that is also kind of like the mindset, right? So you're not only talking strategy, but also preparing them mentally. Do you have any tidbits for that? Because you've worked with some top national U.S. athletes.
I was lucky to have some really good players, and I felt like my goal was to keep them relaxed. So we did things like before matches, routines, but fun routines, things like playing foursquare, playing mini tennis, things like that. I created this game that was like a two-on-one, two at the baseline, one at the net. It was basically the people at the baseline always had to lob, and the person at the net was trying to put it away, and it was competitive. And one thing I noticed about all those players that I was lucky enough to travel with is they were all competitive. So if you put a game in front of them and you made it fun, and then you put something on the line, and this is going back a few years where you could do butts up, and they love that idea of being able to, you know, whack a ball at someone and try and hit them. And I mean, that was what we did. We just kept it fun and light and competitive, getting ready for some of the big events.
Yeah, I love that. Games automatically get the person to relax, because they're not so much in the thinking of the outcome of what's to happen, but just being more in like the fun moment aspect and enjoying being out there instead of being stressed out of how they're going to compete. So I love that. Bobby, thank you so much for your time today. I really
appreciate it. Sure, my pleasure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, enjoyed doing it.
Awesome.
Good seeing you.
You too. And if you guys like these tennis tales, like, share, and subscribe.